is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, The Cleveland Clinic, Island Pay, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and Scotia Bank. You're not alone.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, the Monday after Mother's Day. And I hope all of you mothers are basking in the euphoria of the treatment you got on Mother's Day. Enjoyed a wonderful weekend. I believe my mother did. She went and watched with us a play in Grand Bahama on Friday, on Saturday night, a play called Forever Us. And I have to tell you, I laughed from the beginning to the very end, straight through. It was real surreal and very funny. And then we went and had a Mother's Day lunch with her at Stone Crabs in Grand Bahama. So she had, I think so. Good time, had some beautiful flowers delivered to her. And so I hope you had the same kind of Mother's Day or better. And so I hope you're ready for the week. Father's Day is coming up. We can see what happened. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land today. I do have some special guests to bid me for the first few minutes of the show. And then I want to talk to you about what are you worth in the marketplace of labor? Very interesting story I read, and I just gotta talk to you about that. So, but before we do that, we are going to speak with some special guests who are representing today North Carolina Central University's Counselor Education Program. They are on a recruitment program, folks. So if you're looking for an opportunity to further your education, advance your skill development, I think you want to listen to these folks. I have with me Dr. Lavette Scott, who's been with us before and you know, is always gracious enough to call in and let us know what's happening, where she is, and staying connected to whom. We also have Dr. Lavette Scott is an associate professor and director of the career counseling program. And Dr. Kyla Curian. Dr. Curian, if I got your first name not pronounced properly, you let me know. She's the associate professor and the director of the Clinical Mental Health Counseling Program, North Carolina Clinical Mental Health President. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Dr. Curian. You are the director of the Clinical Mental health counseling. One of these days, you got to come back and let's just talk about that mental health thing. Us just alone.
Absolutely. But also, Dr. Scott is also a clinical mental. See, we're both licensed in clinical mental health counseling. So.
Well, Dr. Scott, she has an open invitation to come and talk to us.
Yeah, I think I mixed up also Dr. Kurian, who is also, she's the president, get this guys, the president of the licensure board in North Carolina. So she makes all the shots. She sees all those persons who may have some issues with their license in the state of North Carolina. Yes.
Okay, well, yes. There you go. In other words, folks, I have some big shots on the line. But so let's talk about North Carolina Central University. First of all, where is that exactly in North Carolina?
So I know a lot of persons know Raleigh, North Carolina. That's the capital of North Carolina. We're about 15, 20 minutes away from Raleigh. In the central, we call Durham. Actually, we're located in the research Raleigh Research Triangle, where they have all the researchers and all of the universities. But we are located in Durham, North Carolina, and that's where I presently live as well. But we're surrounded by Duke. Duke is like 5 minutes away from us. UNC Chapel Hill is like 15 minutes away from us. NC State University is like 30 minutes, Dr. Kurian, away from us. So we're in the research triangle, and we have all of those universities that sort of embodied us in this area as well.
Okay, and the program that you are promoting today, talk to us about that so people can understand what that involves.
So like Dr. Kurian said, as you can hear, I'm a Bahamian. Yes, I don't want to speak the Bahamian dialect here, but I'm in a different capacity. But here at North Carolina Central University, we're housed in the School of Education. So we're the counseling and higher ed department, where we have a counseling program and we have a higher education program. So in the counseling program that we're going to specifically talk a lot about today is we have three programs. We have the career counseling program, which I'm the director of, and then Dr. Kurian, who is the director of the clinical mental health counseling, and Dr. Jennifer Barrow, who we're going to have on as well. She's the director of the school counseling program. So we have three programs housed in the counseling education area, and it's a master's program. So persons would have had completed their bachelor's degree, then come on to their master's program. So we don't teach undergrads, we teach master's students.
Okay, this is, when somebody gets this degree, where are they working? What are kinds of things that they are doing? What, please.
Dr. Kurian, you want to take that one? I don't want to talk so much. You can go ahead.
Sure, Dr. Scott, you're a fount of knowledge so about this stuff as well. thank you. We have the three programs, and those three programs prepare students for different areas of counseling. We have the clinical mental health counseling. You expect to have those students sit for licensure, sit for the exam, sit for licensure, and they work in the community, in clinical mental health agencies. They can work in the hospital. They can work and develop and have their own private practice. They can see clients that are students, children, families, couples, people using alcohol and drugs, suffering from drug addiction, or what we call process addictions, like addiction to pornography or gambling or shopping. We also have individuals who we work with that may need help with disabilities. So there's quite a bit of areas that clinical mental health counselors can work. They can also work in the schools directly as clinical mental health counselors. And Dr. Scott will talk a little bit more about what school counselors do. But you can expect that they're going to be dealing with the experiences of humans and what we go to. But what's unique about our perspective, which is differentiates us from psychology or psychiatry is that we come from a strength-based position and we focus on wellness. And we really want to draw upon the strengths that individuals have to be able to help them work through presenting issues that they may bring into our sessions. And some of our counselors also are on the college campuses, working as college counselors as well. But it's quite a bit of training. We have educational training. We also have a lot of mentoring and supervision. And then there's exams, of course, to take. Our programs are all KCREP accredited, which means that there's a series of standards that nationally are required for programs, and several states require you to have education from a KCREP accredited program before you can get licensed. And so we have that license. Our programs are 60 hours, and people typically finish about 3 years doing summer, fall, and spring. But they're prepared when they leave North Carolina Central University. We have a very rigorous program, and we do a lot of personal mentoring for our students. I think that's really important. And you mentioned, Mr. Lang, about talking about careers and going forward and kind of you're giving advice and whatnot. And that's really important also for us as faculty to be able to help people along as well, to be able to see what their opportunities are and match personality and their giftings and with where they're going to go in the field.
You know, I like this perspective you just mentioned about you come at the work from a strength point of view.
Right.
Because one of the things that I have noticed is that when people present with, let's say, some emotional, mental issue, we then define them entirely by that, not disregarding all the other things that might be wonderfully going
yes.
on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And we've learned about in organizational assessment to do the very same thing. We've learned that, you know, organizations have issues, but if you just focus on the issues, you will miss the strengths, and the strengths become lessons for how they can succeed.
Correct. That is a really good point. That's a very good point. And we do try to focus on utilizing one's strengths to help them with whatever they're presenting with. And that, what you're talking about, that negative focus on the negative is where stigma comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It prevents people from getting help. Mm-hmm. So it's a very important point that you mentioned there. I know Dr. Scott was getting ready to say something.
No, I was going to say that, yes, we look at the strength base. I think sometimes, you know, persons always tread so much on the negative. And even individuals themselves, even when you're doing counseling with them, they'll be, oh, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. I say, okay, let's see what you're good at. So let's see the things that you like to do, first of all, and then try to focus on those things, because we can find so many different things that's wrong with us or negative or that sort of thing. But no, let's put that aside. We're going to deal with that in the session. But let's look at your strength, you know, the things that you're good at, the things that people say that you're good at, things that you say that you're good at. So hopefully that also looks well. And it comes even from the spectrum, from the, you know, less anxiety persons to somebody who really has severe anxiety or depression and that sort of thing. So we do look at that. And I love our programs because, like you said, our programs has three different strands. I think Dr. Kurian talked a lot about the mental health. I know we have a strong school counseling program. We have somebody in the form of Dr. Jennifer Barrow, who is the director of school counseling. And I'm also from a counseling perspective, school counseling. I was a school counselor in the Bahamas for many years. And I got my license here in the state of North Carolina. And coming from her perspective, because she was in the schools here in the state of North Carolina, she brings such a rich experience. And she uses that along with all the other things that we do. There's so much courses that we do that help our students to be able to become, I call it, effective school counselors. I know sometimes, you know, there's a word we use in the Bahamas as guidance counselors. We've moved on from that word in the United States, and it is school counseling because we we wanted to make it more, back in the day, they wanted to make it more in a professional term as a school counselor, because you're really catering to those persons in the school as well. And we have two Bahamians, yes, guys, two Bahamians here at North Carolina Central University. And they are excellent students. I was trying to get one or two of them to come on, but, you know, we shy here and there. But they came on last year, and they're in their second year. Actually, they're going in, finishing up their first year. So I assisted in recruiting those two individuals. So I wanted to see, you know, what was the other market like that we can go inside to see if we can get some more Bahamians to come here at North Carolina Central University in our counseling program.
What are your accreditations?
Like she said earlier, KCREP is like the biggest thing, the biggest flagship for standardization. We just went through a vigorous accreditation, and I saw where the Prime Minister went to Tennessee State, and he was talking about making sure that, you know, UB would also come with accreditation, but we do have SAS accreditation as well. We have KCREP accreditation. We have another accreditation called ESSERP, which is the International Registry of Counseling Education. And then we have some other local ones here in the state of North Carolina. Here in the state, you have to be accredited. They go by that standard book. Okay, you didn't have this, you didn't have that, you didn't have that. I think we had, how many items we had on the standardization, Dr. Kurian? It's like about 100 and something, almost 200 and something.
There's quite a few standards.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. And so we did well. I mean, and we're waiting right now for our accreditation. It's every 8-year accreditation, and we're going to be that back in the summer. But go ahead, Dr. Kieran,
how long has the programs been running?
Oh, that's a really good question. We've been around for a long time. I've been with our department for 17 years.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think, and I'd hate to tell you a tale, but it's been around for a while.
Okay. The reason why I was asking is because I wanted you to highlight some of the things that you have seen arising from your students, the people that passed through your program, like achievements of the programs.
Sure. One of the things that we also have, it, Dr. Scott knows about this as well, is we have an addiction studies program that students can get in addition to a degree from the degree programs. And let me say this, that a lot of our students, we really try to bolster or to give them as much as they can get. So several of our students double major. So they may major in career and clinical mental health counseling. And then because we know that people struggle with addiction in many areas, we have students that also go through the addiction studies program. Our students over the past maybe 5 to 7 years have won the most SAMHSA and MBCC. And SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse Mental Health Agency. It's national. And they grant grants to students to further, because we need more people in addiction studies and addiction counseling. So we have the number one amount of students that have received this honor in the United States. We also were one of the first to, even before COVID, to have an online program established. So when COVID came, and everybody went online and they were figuring it out, our program already had everything online.
Hmm. Yes.
We're already.
And that was one of my questions. Can you do this program virtually entirely?
You can. And Dr. Scott is, again, you talk about accolades and mission. Dr. Scott was QM. We have a certification for online programs, and every one of her programs, of her courses, has met that online, or that online standard for delivery. So yes, every one of our courses, we have an online program, a degree in each one. So you can get a degree, online degree courses for career, school, and clinical mental health. So that is available to students. And one of our, and the important things is, again, that supervision that you would get in the field. And so we would require students towards the end of their program to get some practical experience. And we require about 700 hours in the field working with people in that population, working with career or children or working with clinical mental health folks. And they have a supervisor and get feedback and attend classes, get feedback from their university supervisor as well as their site supervisor. So that's very, very important. And Dr. Scott, I don't know if you'd like to add anything to that.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think he was asking about the accolades also with the, our program. We were in October 2015. I think I came the year after that. I may have something to do with it. I don't know. But we were celebrated as the most outstanding master's level counseling education program from the Southern Association for the Counseling Education and Supervision. That's SAS. That's one of our association for counseling education. So we were considered
SACES,
for in 2015 as well. And then also, like Dr. Kurian talked about, but our online career counseling program. So three of our programs can be done online, and three can also be done face-to-face. And we're, like you said, we were trying to get of six of those programs in total. It's only three, but then, you know, face-to-face and online. We're trying to get six of those to be accredited. We're going through the process, just waiting on that process to get the word back in the summer as well. So
to be re-accredited.
Re-accredited.
You know, if I had the opportunity to do so, I would triple counselors in our school system and in each of the areas that you are talking about, because I have come to appreciate that counseling isn't something that you do when you get in trouble alone, but something that if you are proactive in it, it can avoid trouble.
You know,
and I think that so many students in our school system are challenged, not ready from trauma and stress or whatever number of things can impact upon a person's mental health. And at the same time, there are students who just simply don't know how to take care of your mental health, how to navigate these issues that you have with family and peers and all that kind of stuff. And so maybe that push is a way to get more and more students looking at your program and other programs like this.
I know the, I'm also a part of the Bahamas Psychological Association. Like you said, I was trying, I tried my endeavor best to try to reach back in different pockets in different ways. And they're doing some good programs as well. And, you know, we always need more programs. Here in the school systems, and even in, like, I remember I talked about Raleigh. Raleigh has this Wake County. Wake County is like one of the best, I think number 9 or number 10 school system in the United States, something like that, right? And in each one of the schools, they have either a clinical mental health counselor or they have an agency that is in charge of that school. So yes, you counselors, and hats off to all those school counselors, Ms. Powell and all those persons who are in the school counseling program. I still think that we need the mental health counselors now to come and do the mental health piece, the clinical mental health piece, and the referrals in that area. And most of the times, like when we were school counselors, we had to refer to the ministry. The ministry, yes, they have psychologists and psychologists. They have the whole Bahamas, and, you know, that's a lot. Yeah. So if you know, the Ministry of Education, and I heard something on the radio about consultancy and that sort of thing, and I'm going to look into that. But if the Ministry of Education would probably even think about just hiring mental health counselors for like 2 schools or 3 schools, and they will cover those schools when they have more, you know, mental health, clinical mental health issues, then the school counselors will have a better team, you know, working on the outside. I think that's the model, but that's the model that they present here in the state of North Carolina. Any mental health or clinical mental health conditions, they go out to the schools. Now, some of the school counselors can do some of the anxiety and the basic ones, but they cannot diagnose. The school counselors cannot diagnose, not a clinical mental health diagnosis. Here in the state of North Carolina, as a clinical mental health counselor, you can diagnose. So I can diagnose, Dr. Curran can give diagnosis in terms of a mental health diagnosis. So if we have that same, team like to help with that, you know, I think that will make it stronger. That will be a stronger bond for persons in the school as well.
We've got two minutes. You got something going on with nurses. Y'all are celebrating nurses. I went someplace. Nurses were gathered for lunch, and I was so happy. I give them a little pep talk. But so what's going on with the nurses?
Yeah, I just want to say happy 30 and worthy for our nurses. Those who graduated in 1992 from the Association at then the College of the Bahamas. Now we're the University of the Bahamas. But we graduated from our degree program back in 1992. So we're celebrating 30 years. A lot of us don't look more than 30. If we have a virtual past and present, and we're going to show our old pictures from then and now. We're going to have a whole 3 days events, like on the Thursday, we're going to do a virtual party. Some of them are going to go to Harbor Island, and then we're going to go to a church service. We're going to donate to the Unity House, and then we're going to do some sip and paint, and then we're going to have a dinner at Twisted Lime. So we're going to celebrate us for all those persons, all those nurses, happy Nurses Month. All those persons who are part of our 30 nurses, we had two who passed on and gone on to meet their savior, but we are still strong. We have a still strong WhatsApp group. Two of us or three of us live here in the United States, but we keep in contact as much as we can. So I want to say happy 30 is worthy to all those nurses who are listening out. Some of them were a little shy on, but you know, we want to say thank you so much, Mr. Lang, for allowing us opportunity just to
how do folks get in contact with yourselves about the program to apply and or find out more information?
So there's a website that's called nccucounseling.com. So that's nccucounseling.com. Once you go onto that website, it has everything that you need to know about our program, how to get in. A lot of persons say, oh, the GRE, don't worry, just take it and come in and get interview and you complete all the forms, you complete all the application, that sort of thing. And my email is on that website as well. You'll see Dr. Lavette Scott and also Dr. Curry, and our emails are on that as well. And we want to say hello to Dr. Whiting, Peggy Whiting, who's our coordinator, and our chair is Dr. Chad Royal, and along with all the fine professors there at North Carolina Central University.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lavette Scott, Dr. Tyler Curian.
Curian, yes.
You got it. You got it.
See, I can learn. Thank you so very much for joining.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lang. Well, have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Bye.
We will. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I miss them, but I got to have them. We are going to talk to Nima. Oh, my goodness. This is Joan coming up next month. We got to talk to Nima. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with some representatives from Nima. We'll be back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend is to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay. a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Join us on June 8th for the annual RF Economic Outlook Conference, where speakers include Dex Toroff, executive at Facebook and Google, John Citaletis, geopolitical consultant to the U.S. Department of State, Keith Herman, serial tech entrepreneur and blockchain expert, and global innovation strategist Sean Canungo. Registration is now open. Find out more at rfeoc.com.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You know, we are fortunate to live in the country we live in. It's a beautiful geographical space. It's a tropical country. It's got beautiful seas and beaches and lots of sunshine and just great positives, but it sits in the path of the annual streams of hurricanes. And we have over decades become far too familiar with these hurricanes, these storms, and what they can mean to us. And those are just one of the kinds of disasters we could face, but that's one of the chronic ones. And charged with the responsibility of readying us and of helping us respond in the wake of these disasters, We have the National Emergency Management Agency of the government of the Bahamas. And theirs is a big job, folk. You don't think about them until that time comes. But their job is to think about that stuff all the time. And so we have representatives of NEMA in the studio. Welcome, welcome.
Good afternoon.
I was trying to get them to send me your stuff in advance, but I wasn't able to. So if you can, ma'am, for us and your team.
Well, I am Melanie Coakley McKenzie. I'm a partner with NEMO, the Salvation Army, a representative here, as this is National Preparedness Month. Okay. And so as a partner, they reached out to us. And so I'm here today to discuss how it is a cohesive plan that NEMA has with the partners during this time of year, but also throughout the year.
Yes, because you're not waiting for a disaster to happen. Y'all are about the business of readying ourselves for when that happens, eh?
Yes, definitely. You know, planning is 365 days of the year. Weather is very unpredictable. And as you had said before, we sit in a unique position. And so we just never know when something is going to happen to any island of chains in the Bahamas. And so as a partner of NEMA, the Salvation Army is working closely with them in that cohesiveness to make sure the response is quick and you're on the ground as quickly as possible when it does happen.
And so there's two things. There's the planning NEMA does, and then there's the planning and preparation that NEMA tells us to do. Can we talk about both?
Well, we can talk about what NEMA tells us to do and the planning that takes place as a partner, yes, from the Salvation Army perspective. Of course, as you said, you know, we are getting ready into that season we all do not look forward to. But definitely, we are always looking at ways to improve upon the last disaster or hurricane or event that may have impacted us as a community. And so as the Salvation Army, we operate a shelter outside of the disaster services. And so we're looking how do we respond quickly when we are called upon as a partner of NEMA to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our the families that may be impacted at that given time. Once you get the go-ahead, the call from NEMA to activate, for instance, a shelter, the Salvation Army is well prepared. You know, our generators are checked monthly, making sure that we have the resources in place that if we have to go active for any reason, ready to go. If there's another incident that is taking place locally, like flooding, we just had that big swell of rain over the weekend, unexpected. You know, that impacts persons too, also in low-lying areas. And so if there's a need, as a partner, the Salvation Army is able to respond in meeting that need.
And you know, when people think of shelter, we think about a roof over your head. But once you have to shelter people, you're now supplying them with water and food and that kind of thing. True or not true?
Yes, that is definitely true. Once you go into an active mode and you are operating a shelter, definitely you need bedding, you need linens, you need personal hygiene items, a kitchen for persons that you're going to cook for. All of those things we do not think about because it's not impacting us. But if you have to move, those things are needed for a shelter and persons to function as if they were in their own home.
And the shelters that the Salvation Army as a partner has, it's not just in New Providence. I know we're very Nassau-centric, but you operate shelters throughout the country?
Well, we operate, we are located, then we do our part in Freeport, Grand Bahama, and then also Eleuthera in terms of the need when it comes to partnering in this type of arena for those that are in need. So if we're called upon, it is easier for us to be prepared because we have a physical presence there. So you could ship out things earlier. Things could be in place before the storm hits. You're coordinating with your team locally and internationally as we're all watching as the weather impacts. And then once hopefully we have not had a category 4 or 5, but some impact, we can move quite quickly with our colleagues where they are placed. And if we need to call in additional teams like we did with Hurricane Dorian because of the magnitude, then definitely those persons are brought in also to partner with us in helping those in need.
And as a nonprofit, the Salvation Army obviously relies on the the generosity of the community, right? So as the season approaches, community to help you be able to supply what is necessary to maintain a functional shelter?
Well, basically what we do is when we look at our strategic plan throughout the year, there are certain elements that we already have in place from month to month that can help if there is an emergency. However, if there is of a greater magnitude, definitely we look to the public to help us in helping those that are in need. But definitely the planning is always taking place. You never get a day off when it comes to this type of preparement. And so with the month of June almost here and the hurricane season about to start June 1st, definitely you're making sure what you're looking at your stock levels of what you have, your generators, what we need to change out, and also taking in consideration the pandemic, because that has definitely also impacted how you assist persons with the social distancing measures that you have to keep in place.
I didn't think about that. I think we almost ended up in a kind of a double whammy situation before, where we had the convergence of the storm, a potential storm, and the pandemic, and that creates a new set of
Yes, it does. Definitely, you have to now look at different types of hygiene kits. You're looking at your square footage, because normally when you would have maybe been able to assist or bring in 100 people in your shelter, if that is the capacity, you now have to cut that in half. So definitely you're reevaluating to make sure to keep everyone safe that is coming into the shelter, those that are working. And definitely once NEMA gives us the go ahead for activation, then you also the Defense Forces plays a part with our shelters and social services. So definitely it is a partnership that is quite cohesive. And like you said, we don't realize it until we are maybe in that season, all of this planning that is taking place behind the scenes.
And this is the month before the month. So this is May, the season begins June 1. And so now is the time for folk to be making ready, right?
Yes. Now is the time to be making ready, checking your batteries, checking, you know, just taking stock of what you may or may not have. And so it's not a shock to the system to say you have to run out and get a certain thing, but definitely just taking a look at your stock levels of what you have in your homes.
Is there anything else and as we go through this preparation month that NEMA and yourselves as partners want us all to be aware of?
Well, at the end of the month, NEMA would have spoken about they're having a fair at their headquarters, I think the last Saturday of this month, where all of the partners are going to be there giving out literature, you know, information to those that are interested. So definitely those that want some more information, definitely come out at the end of the month, that Saturday at NEMA headquarters. All of us are going to be there as partners. The Salvation Army is just one of the many partners NEMA teams up with during such a disaster or relief or recovery effort. So it takes people that are in need during difficult times.
And are people able to volunteer to assist the Salvation Army, for instance, as a partner when, you know, these disasters happen? And is there like some training or something that they can get for that?
Well, definitely. When it's disaster, there is training that they can get for that because it's a little bit different. Just making sure that everyone can always reach out to us on our website if they have an interest, and they can specifically say if it's in reference to disaster relief. I know for sure with Hurricane Dorian, we had a number of volunteers in Nassau, in Abaco, in Freeport helping us, and internationally. Coming together cohesively. So definitely there's always a need in terms of help. And we look at where you can be placed and have that discussion once you make it known to us that you have that interest, and specifically if it's a reference to disaster recovery and relief.
Well, please let NEMA, let the partners, the Salvation Army, know that whenever they need to get their message out, and we're here, we're happy to help.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate it very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's That's Melanie Coakley McKenzie, Community Relations Development Officer from the Salvation Army, who partners with the National Emergency Management Agency to help as safe as they can and to help us out when things go wrong as these disasters hit. Thank you very, very, very much, Mrs. McKenzie.
Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon.
You too. You too. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break for news soon. But when we come back, I read an article that really, really caught my attention and made me think. Now, this is a wonderful something to have a conversation about. So Disney is trying to get up and running, having some recruitment workers. And an interview was conducted with someone in Eleuthera. Let me just leave it like that. And I want to read something for you. The person said, as I see it, this will only profit the foreigners, and it won't profit the Bahamian people and the Eleutherans, because it is just like you're back in slavery and they don't want to pay you what you're worth. And we're going to talk about that. What are you worth? What are you worth? What are you worth? We can talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I want to read, this is a quote from an article in one of the dailies, in the Tribune, written by Yuri Kemp. I was talking to an owner of a landscaping and plant nursery in Eleuthera. The owner was expressing concerns about the wages that Disney may pay being low. And made this quote, as I see it, this will only profit the foreigners. And it won't profit the Bahamian people and the Lutherans, because it is just like you're back in slavery and they don't want to pay you what you're worth. Wow. If they are going to be doing anything up here, they need to look out for the Bahamian people and not just themselves, because as it stands, that's how it always been. So as I read that, it really struck a chord in me, because I don't know if this is a broad sentiment in Elusa. I don't know if this is a broad sentiment across the country, but I know it is a sentiment that I have heard in the country in many ways. I have heard it. This notion, first of all, that there's these foreigners, and then there's us, and then there's these foreigners who treat us like second-class citizens, say, slaves even. Slaves. I mean, did you hear those words? Like going back to slavery. And I want to say this delicately to Bahamians. Some of you, by your description or comparison of some situation you might have to slavery, I think really understates the horror of slavery. The slaves didn't face low wages. They faced no wages. It wasn't that slaves only weren't paid. Slaves were treated as to their humanity as if they had no worth beyond what they could fetch as mere tradable commodity, a piece of cattle. And so their worth was about how much they could be bought and sold for. In the dispensation in which you and I live, a human being cannot be bought or sold for any legitimate value. They can be bought and sold, mind you, because there's still people trading in people right now. But that is not a legitimate value. Because in our dispensation of the recognition of the inherent dignity of the human being, a human being has no value that can be placed upon them on planet Earth. So to compare anybody, especially in the circumstance of a hiring by a company for wages in a country that has a minimum wage, a lawfully sanctioned parliamentary minimum wage, to a person who was kidnapped from their home, dragged across the sea, shackled together on bare hold and packaged so tightly that they could not sit upright. During that dreaded mid-passage, a trip that took from 3 weeks to more than 3 months, the foul and poisonous air of the hold, extreme heat, men lying for hours in their own defecation with blood and mucus covering the floor caused a great deal of sickness. Mortality from undernourishment and disease was about 16%. The first few weeks of the trip was the most traumatic experience for the Africans. A number of them went insane. A number of them went insane. And many became so despondent that they gave up the will to live. Often they committed suicide by drowning or refusing food or medicine, or rather than accept their enslavement. That is a reading from Slavery in America. Equal Justice Initiative. It's like going back to slavery. We shouldn't do that. We could make our point that we want adequate wages. We could make that point. But I would leave the slavery out of it. I would do the slaves who suffered the indignity of slavery, I would do them the honor of remembering their tragic and horrific circumstances with some degree of respect and regard that would not tolerate a comparison to living on a beautiful island called Eleuthera or any island in the Bahamas in the 21st century world. That's the first thing. The second thing is that these foreigners said with a degree of, you know, something. Folks, the investor, be he or she Bahamian, is a person who sits down and thinks, how can I make money? What is there that I could do to make money? Or, you know, I notice they need that or they want that and nobody is really providing it, or nobody's providing it effectively, and or somebody could provide it better. And they think to themselves, you know what? I think I could do that, or with some people I could do that. And then they strategize about, okay, what, how much of that product or service might I be able to sell? What's the market? I mean, what's really the market? What does the market require in the way of quality and pricing, et cetera? And then they think around, what would it cost to deliver that in terms of the equipment and machinery, the buildings and the releases and the rents and the operational expenses associated with the government and the laborers and all that kind of stuff. What would it take to do that? And then let me see now, when I calculate and estimate that cost, if I look at what I could price it for, is the revenue and the cost going to match to the extent that it's worth me getting into this and trying to find $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, $10 million, $100 million to put into this business and take that risk, probably with the possibility that I could lose all this money that I am going to put into this. It is the profit sufficient to allow me to do that? That's a Bahamian or a foreign investor. That's a big one or a small one. That's a landscaper like that person who would do that. Because that's the business you're in. You're not in charity. You're not in the charity business. You're in the business of business for profit. And there are all kinds of, considered, least of which is the risk of losing everything you put into the business. So you and I, when we get into business, this is not a friendship. This is not a charity. I look out for you to the extent that my business is in a relationship with you, And we have to work together to get what I want and what you want. I don't have to look out for you. Let's be clear. You don't have to look out for the person. You are actually in a mutual relationship, contractual relationship, that I am required to honor my contractual relationship and you are required to honor yours. And if we don't both honor our contractual relationship, then we have decisions we can make. We can quit. Or we can, but it's a contractual relationship. It's not a buddy-buddy system. I don't have to look out for you. That's why we have contracts. Contract. It is the benevolent employer who decides, you know, above your contract, I am going to do other things if I can do for you. But that's the rare circumstance. I dare say, what anyway. You have a contractual arrangement, a contractual obligation, and that's why you have a contract. These are between adult people about how you are to work, what are you to do, and what are you to be paid. Now, before you sign the contract, before you take the job, before you say yes, the man offers you a pay. He offers you a pay. You have a decision to make before you say yes. Before you say yes. If you don't like the pay, you say to the man, I require more. He said, well, how much more you require? And you tell him. And he either accepts it, or he gives you a counter that might be less than what you require. Or he says, no, I can't do that. And you and he will negotiate until one of y'all decide, listen, we're never going to reach a conclusion, so let's part ways. But if you decide to sign the contract, this isn't any longer about how much you are worth. That's not what it's about. I'm sorry, it's not about how much you're worth. Because of your humanity, no one can put a worth on you or me. As to our humanity, there's no number you can put on me. As to my skill, there's absolutely a number that can be put on me. Absolutely. By the person who is going to hire me. So let me give you an example. You walk in a store. You tell the man, I need a pair of shoes for my son. You see a pair of shoes. You like it? Beautiful, woo, nice looking pair of shoes. You could see your son in that pair of shoes. Man tells you, shoes cost $700. You tell me you got to be out your mind. He said, but that's how much it's worth. That's how much it's worth to me. And that's what I'm selling it for. And you tell him you out of your mind and you walk out the store, why? Why? You don't think the shoe's worth $700? That's right, you don't think it's worth. You are the buyer. You don't think, the seller thinks that it is worth $700, and you walk out the store and he lets you go. He doesn't even stop and say, I can cut the price now for you. Someone might do that, but he ain't gonna do it. It depends on the situation. Talk about that in a little while, right? So it depends on the situation. But you walk out. How many times have you and I done that? We walked out and said, no, I'm not gonna pay that for that. You hire somebody to do your landscaping. They tell you, Lang, I'll do your yard for $200. I tell them, absolutely not. $200? The guy down the road has charged me $80. Why would I pay $200 to you? So he says, okay, $120. I said, my brother, the guy down the road charged me $80. Now, the man who first asked me for $200, you don't think he thinks he's worth $200? That's what he thinks. But that has nothing to do with the reality of the market. What the person is willing to pay and what the competition is willing to offer compared to you. To try and judge this, to say, if you don't pay me what I think I'm worth, is to question my humanity. That is not right. Why? Because, I mean, with the greatest respect, many of these persons who work for companies who do some of the hard work around this place, they are either patients with work status or Haitians with work permanent residency, et cetera. They can't walk up to you and say, listen, man, I want $500 a week for what I do. They know it and you know it. Because the market just will not bear that. He may well believe he's worth $500, $600, $700 a week. The fact that he's getting $250, $300 isn't about his humanity. It's about the economic dynamics of the marketplace in which he or she finds themselves. It's not the same thing. So it has nothing to do with being a foreigner, because Bahamians do the very same thing in business every single day. That's why the government of the Bahamas created a minimum wage. Not because foreigners were charging Bahamians what we regarded as subpar wages, but because Bahamians were doing it also. And so this argument is not it doesn't help us, right? It doesn't help us get where we need to go. Because what you're worth is oftentimes a reflection of what the market is prepared to pay. And if you think you are worth more, just leave, walk away. Say, man, I can do better than that over across there. But you know what the problem is? You can't. Because the market isn't there. So while sometimes you have to take what you can get until you can get what you want. I had a bachelor's degree in economics out of University of Western Ontario in 1990. And could not find work for over 1 year. And the first job I got, the man was paying me $125 a week. Now, you know, in my head, I saw a bachelor's degree. I thought surely I could be in that $350, $500 a week category, et cetera. And that's what I thought. But that's what the man was prepared to pay me to keep his books. You think, did I scoff at him and say, I'm worth a lot more than that? I was giving me a job, I had no job. I am not an accountant. I never even did bookkeeping. Mom's doing me a favor. Worth? I was taking what the market would give me for that particular skill. He wasn't hiring an economist. He was hiring a bookkeeper who happened to have a degree in economics. And if I had worked on a job with my electrician friend or my contractor friend, they'd have paid me a couple of dollars too the same way, because I had no skill in electrical work and I had no skill in construction work. But when I did get a job in an area that befitted my degree and skills, well, I got paid a lot more. We have to do this differently, I think. We have to have some perspective. So, Mr. Lang, in your usual fashion, you take the figurative as literal and then dictate to others how they should use figurative language. It is astonishing. It's amazing that you can orate the experience as if you lived it, but people cannot use language because you say they don't understand. Oh, I wasn't saying that the person doesn't understand. And I acknowledge that they were using the language figuratively, but that doesn't, for me, this is only me now. See, yes, what happens with y'all. Listen, you wrote me just now, castigating me, okay? That's what you did. So, and I read it, right? I read the full statement you gave, castigating me for my thoughts. You are able to express your thoughts as strongly and articulately as you wish. But then you have a challenge when I express. Ask yourself why you do that. Ask yourself, what is it about me that makes you do that? Right? You could rather have said something different, but you didn't. You chose this expression. See, you have to give me the right to my thoughts as I give you the right to your thoughts. I understand the figurative nature of the language, but that's why I said, we do harm to that when we use it that way in the context that it was used. That's just my point of view. I couldn't stop the person from saying that. They might say it again. Okay, that doesn't change anything for me as to the propriety of it. It's just my thought, just my view, and I try lying and die in the ditch over it. If you disagree with me, you're quite fine to do that. I don't think that we should be using that someone pays me and they have to pay me minimum wage. They have to pay me minimum wage or better. That someone who pays me, because who set the minimum wage? The government. So if I pay you minimum wage, the government set a minimum wage that could be compared to slavery. Man, please, come on, man. Right? But this is your view, and you're quite welcome to it. This text is, Mr. Lang, this reminds me about a supposed friend of mine told me he could do the electrical for my building for $16,000. I told him he lost his mind. Someone else charged him $9,000, so all of a sudden he could drop the price. He told me his service worth $16,000. True story, exactly. That's reality. But what you did was you showed him what the market can bear. And that's the difference. So, Salang, I get so vexed when you tell this $150 story because I still think he could have paid at least $180. He didn't pay me $150. Did I say $150? He paid me $125. $125. That was in 1990 now, 91. All right. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What are you worth? Very good question. The Haymans are treated the way they are because it's what they allow and what our government allow happen to us. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at that point again. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our brands. We're good for you.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA Rep. Sent pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of app.
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 4393-043. So we're talking about this question of what are you worth? And I, by worth, we're talking about what are you worth in terms of pay, right? What are you worth in terms of pay? In that, there's a notion that someone has expressed about maybe what Disney those would pay in Lusso, the wages would be so low that it's like going back to slavery, right? This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, what are you worth? Very good question. Listen to the text. Bahamians are treated the way they are because it's what they allow. And how are Bahamians treated? What is the treatment you're talking about? What is that treatment? I don't know. You just say treated. And what our governments allow happen to us. So what is that? What is the treatment that happens to Bahamians that they allow and the government allows? Please tell me. I have worked 5 different places in my lifetime. That's it. I didn't do a lot of job, hobby. 5 different places. Each time I got a job, I was an adult. I was 18 years or older. Each time I discussed with the people what it was they wanted me to do. And each time they asked me, they offered me a pay. On 3 of the occasions, I took what was offered me. On the other occasions, I negotiated my salaries upward. And I signed on. And I never one single day in my life complained. Never one time complained that I wasn't being paid what I was worth. Did I want to be paid more? Always, always, always. Never said I wasn't being paid what I was worth. Because I knew what I was getting paid. And I agreed to be paid that amount. And even some days when it was tight paying the bills, and even some days when I wanted to do some things for me and my family, but couldn't do it because the money wasn't there. I never said, these people don't pay you right. I was a grown man looking the people in them face. They offered me money and I decided to take it. Sometimes I was offered and I decided not to take it. And I left. What's the government supposed to do for me? How was the government supposed to help me out there? How does that work? We don't want the government in our bedroom. We don't want the government in our business when we are for rent. We don't want the government in our business when we are spending our money, when we are borrowing money from the banks. We don't want the government in our business when we are figuring out who we want to sleep with or who we don't want to sleep with, who we want to marry or don't want to marry. We don't want the government in our business for those things, but we want the government in our business when we take a job, knowing what the pay is, and expect the government would do something about it. We want the government in our business when we are unable and things start to turn sour. We want the government. Well, how does that work? How does this work? What is the government supposed to do? Like, let's look at an example in Illusa. What should the government do to make Disney pay people what they're worth? Somebody, please help me. You can call me or text me. Tell me, and in fact, forget Disney. How about all the rest of people working? You think the cashiers at these grocery stores don't want to be paid more? You think the tellers in the banks don't want to be paid more? You think the gas pump attendant doesn't want to be paid more? You think the waiters and waitresses, you think the maids at the hotels don't want to be paid more? Who in this country doesn't want to be paid more? Please raise your hand. Tell me you don't want to be paid more. You know, in the United States of America, there are some people who don't want to be paid more because if they get paid more, they go in a higher tax bracket, so they don't really, they got to calculate whether it's worth it to do so. But tell me, who doesn't want to be, and what should the government do for all of them? You think the government workers don't want to be paid more? You're talking about the government, but what the government allows. You think the government workers don't want to be paid more? You work for the government. You don't want to be paid more? This text says, another point, look at what is happening on Cocoa Key and Great Stirrup Key, 100% employment for menial jobs. The better paying jobs are given to foreigners and persons from Grand Bahama and Nassau. Okay, hold on. You say the better paying jobs are given to foreigners and persons from Grand Bahama and Nassau. So are the persons from Grand Bahama and Nassau foreigners who have the better paying jobs? You have to help me with that, please. I want that person to write me back. Because it sounds to me like you're saying the better paying jobs are going to the foreigners and persons from Nassau are foreigners. So in addition, Berry Islanders are not allowed to enjoy any of the amenities. Now I can appreciate how people from Alutra feel, okay? All right, I don't know why they'd be, I don't know how that works. When you are in Nassau, and some Nassauvians, help me up with this, you know, can we go to Bahama and not be a guest and go and enjoy the amenities? Can you go to Atlantis and just enjoy the amenities? Can you go to Comfort Suites and just enjoy the amenities? Can you go to the Hilton or the Point and just enjoy the amenities? When you are in the United States of America, can an American simply show up at one of the hotels and go and enjoy the amenities? Is that how it works? How does that work? Please help me. What is different about Cocoa Key and Atlantis, Bahama, Comfort Suites? What happens in America at the properties where a person is not a guest? How does that work? Someone help me understand it, please. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, you are comparing $125 to $210 from 1990 to 2022. Inflation, a mere $85 increase difference. The market in the region has not improved with the times. I'm not comparing anything. I never compared those two things at all. So I don't know which discussion you were listening to, but that's not a discussion I had. I made no such comparison. As a matter of fact, if I were comparing inflationary adjustment of 125, I don't know that it would be $85. So you and I weren't talking about the same thing. I'm sorry. You might have missed the point that I was making. This text says our labor law is outdated. Example, if you work for a major company, your time matures at 12 years. After that, you're on your own. So what do you recommend? What should it be? What would a bid situation be, please? Tell me. Like you say, we are outdated. So tell me what an updated situation would be, please. I'd like it. I'd like you to help us so we could know. This text says you can enjoy the amenities at Atlantis and Bahama as long as you pay for a day pass. Exactly, right? Meaning that once you pay for the day pass, you are now one of the guests. That's how it works. Everywhere I've been, that's how it works. I can't just, when I'm in America with my American relatives or friends, they can't just show up to the Marriott Hotel and go use the people's gym, use the people's pool. It doesn't work that way. Why should it be different here? You're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago. Final break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
History has taught us that in crisis, humanity will always respond with innovation. What world-changing technologies will emerge from humanity's latest challenges? How can the Caribbean capitalize on the metaverse, blockchain, hybrid work, and more? Join us at the RF Economic Outlook Conference under the theme Future Forces, World-Changing Ideas, where we will explore the future of work, investments, technology, and more. The journey begins on June 8th. Reserve your seat today at www.rfeoc.com.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you can join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 43933. In the world of adulthood, in which so many of us exist, there is what we want, and wanting something is legitimate, especially if it's not something corrupt. You know, it's your want, it's what you want. You want $1 million, you want $10 million, you want $100,000 a year in pay, you want a huge home, you want a fancy car, you want a gorgeous wife, you want an intelligent husband. You know, it's those are legitimate. There's no one should and can put you down for that. Wanting to be paid as much as you can be paid by anyone, absolutely legitimate. But every adult knows that they live in a world of constraints, meaning many things we want, we are constrained to have, especially when we want and in the way we want. That's the brass reality of this world. When a child can't get what they want, that they throw a temper tantrum, you understand. This is a child. This child's ability to comprehend the complexities and limitations of the world is not as keen as you expect an adult to be, right? When the teenager can't get what they want and decide to sulk, you know what sulking is? Sulking is when you fail to express how you feel and what is bothering you and rather go into silence and hope that someone will recognize and understand by reading your mind what is happening, and therefore come and do something about it. Same way we figure out what's wrong with a child. A baby doesn't say, I'm hungry. A baby doesn't say, I poop up myself. The baby cries, and we figure out what is wrong, and we fix it. Some of us take that same behavior in adulthood, and it's called sulking, okay? So we want things we can't have because the circumstances don't permit. And then we express ourselves sometimes, or don't express ourselves sometimes, in ways that don't acknowledge the complexities of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. There's nothing wrong with being able to say, for example, that it is my hope that wages paid by Disney will allow people to earn a living that can actually, in fact, help them live. Nothing wrong with that. When you go to negotiate with Disney, you say, well, listen, man, I can't take that. I'm not gonna do that. That don't allow me to live here. And here's why. Bam, 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 bam. Here's the skills I bring, sir. And Disney may or may not take it. And you tell them, you walk away. If you believe what you believe about your work, you walk away. You walk away. If Disney can't hire nobody in Eleuthera, what are they gonna do? You think it'll be worth it for Disney to bring people, import people here? Really? You negotiate. This is the adult world. And that's what the adult people are called upon to do. Negotiate. You're not going to guilt a company into doing something it can't afford to do. You're not going to guilt a person into that. You have to know what they bring, and you have to understand, appreciate whether, in fact, you have leverage and you use it. And try and get as much as you can. Bearing in mind that you always want to have a long game. And long game means that I might be able to wait until my change comes. And I'm not going to stand in my own way by the comments I make, by the things that I do. Or sometimes complaining can get you a little bit more than you had before too. So if that's your strategy, maybe it works. So Mr. Lang, I'm 44 going on 45 and I still suck. And I have tantrums at times when I don't get what I want. True story, sad to say. One thing with you, I like you. You are always quite honest about the stuff that you have going on. Ms. Texas, you are absolutely correct, Mr. Lang. Adults would say behaviors like to sulk or throw tantrums, but ask them if they have developed themselves and abstained from having kids first. What does that mean? They have developed themselves and abstained from having kids first. I don't know. When I got married, I didn't have no kids. And I did abstain. I don't know. Adulting isn't easy, man. It's not. And it's not easy for more reasons than that you have to pay bills. It's not easy because, unfortunately, I think that we come to adulthood with not a very good idea of what it is like. We come to adulthood with bad information. Let me give an example of what I mean by bad information. And it's not deliberate bad information, right? Think about your childhood and your growing up. You have everything for us, first of all. And in the Bahamas, our parents do a lot of stuff for us, man, a lot of stuff. We got grown men and women right now to this day living home who they ain't gonna go hungry, they ain't gonna go thirsty, they're not going to go out looking bad because their parents still doing stuff for them. So through the eyes of an adult, I want you all to listen to this now. This is a thought that I got listening to someone I thought was so philosophical. We come to adulthood thinking that we should continuously be the customers of love. Meaning, because our parents and them poured their love on us for free, we come to adulthood expecting to continue to be that kind of customer. We are the consumers of love, not the producers of it. Because our parents were the producers of it. And when they were producing love for us, we didn't have to give it back. We didn't have to do a thing for them. Not one thing. Our parents never told us how hard it was to show us the love they were showing us. They never did. They never complained much to us. They did what they had to do. When inside their bedrooms crying and weeping, they tossed and turned, worrying and stressing out about how to pay the bills. And when you saw them, they were grinning and smiling and coochie, woochie, 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 and feeding you. And so your concept and my concept is, man, we are the consumers of good fortune and love, not the producers of it. Then we come into the adult world where we got to be the producers. And now all of a sudden we are shocked. We're stunned at the complexity of the world. We are stunned at how difficult and challenging it is. We are stunned at how other people expect us to give back what we are giving to them. And we are stunned. And so our ideas about adulting and adult life can be distorted by for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us, the wonderfulness of the life we came out of. And some of us, when we get married, all our mommy and daddy else. So our first experience of life outside their house is brand new. And so we come with the ideas and concepts and experiences of being living in that house, in this new house. And some of us don't never make the shift and continue to feel entitled to that wonderful treatment that we got in the house. And so we put on our next person and another person and the whole society the obligation to take care of us. Life don't work that way though, not in the adult world. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. I'm not afraid to take a stand.